And welcome, everybody, to episode 562, the Halloween episode of RP Grinders. I am your host, Frankenstein Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Evil Eric RPG and the Bloody Beast Man. Gentlemen, how are you?
Better than I was last week.
Yeah, you were not doing good. We didn't do a show last week because, you know.
Because Frank failed.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I failed. No, you know what's funny, guys? Like, I was like an hour. I'm always on about an hour trying to make sure everything is good for the show and all this. And I'm furiously trying to make the show work. And, you know, it just, nothing was working. Like, the streaming software that I use just wasn't cutting it, and I figured it's because I upgraded my OS, and sure enough, that's what the problem was. But I tried all the way up until 15 minutes after the show, and as soon as I got off with the guys, you know, got off. You guys are sick. I know what you're thinking. As soon as we got off, like trying and just called the show off, I got it working. So we're here. We're live, RP Grinders.
So what we all learned is Frank got off.
Well, that's a no-brainer, man. Come on, man. I mean, yeah, you know, there's never a time when I, anyways, let's get on with the news.
RPG News.
All right. As I don't know if I mentioned this, but the video portion's not going to be working for this show because of the problems with OBS and, you know, the streaming software that I'm using. So until further notice, video will be down. But, you know, at least we can do the show live. So, Eric, without further ado, let's get through this news quickly because we've got lots to talk about on the show.
Okay, from RPG site, we've got a date for Atelier Dusk Trilogy Deluxe Pack. And it comes out, January 14th, 2020. All so right. That's for the PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and PC for Steam.
What games is it including, Eric?
Atelier Ayesha DX, Atelier Eska and Logi DX, and Atelier Shelly DX.
All right. Aren't you glad I didn't make you read this story? Breakman?
Yeah, because I would have just quit.
I was contemplating. I was like, man, I should make a break, dude.
Yeah, this is how the show starts. I'm walking off.
You can't use my line. How dare you? You're exiled, son of a bitch. So this is good news. It's a nice trilogy of games to look forward to. Anything else on that, Eric, before we move on?
Not really.
Nothing.
All right, Bloody Beast Man, you're up next.
Coming to us live from RPG site.
Is that what happens when Skeletor beats him for not wanting to put up with the shit anymore?
Yeah, atmospheric and challenging indie action RPG Unsold announced for PC launching spring 2020. Okay, that's it.
Yep, there you go. There you go. That was nice, quick, and easy.
Yeah. Want me to go into like details?
No, I think we can go on. We got too much news to
sure,
do.
Like, I think I didn't. I think we should maybe read about it.
Okay, go ahead, man.
Face Your Fate. That makes a lot more sense. Set in a beautiful but haunting world, Unsold is an atmospheric action RPG about a mysterious power used with deadly purpose. That's as vague as it can be. Yeah. Featuring highly stylized combat that's fast-paced and rewarding, there's less focus on puzzling, so no time is wasted on finding the way forward on your journey. Follow the path of fate and face the challenges that lie ahead in this new game from independent developer Jin Sub Jung.
Yeah. Looks
unravel the tale. Yeah. Follow the story of a boy and girl with fate intertwined, brought together through a shared ability to absorb the souls of the dead. Okay, now that is interesting. Discover how they use the power with different intent through environmental storytelling, where more is revealed by interacting with the world around you. Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Combine deadly attacks. Counter your opponent and strike. Using sword slashes, dashes, and soul powers in a graceful combat system that rewards player dedication. With a variety of unlockable abilities and additional training mode, you can learn to quickly dispatch enemies with lethal arsenal of powerful chain combos. And let me see here. We also have Strengthen Your Resolve. Absorb the souls of the fallen and use them to grow your power. Wow, you already said that. Enhance the strength, learn new skills, and improve combat abilities.
Yeah.
Explore detailed environments. Well, what a shock.
Yeah.
Isn't that in every game now?
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and – well, it's pixel art style, so that's cool. Play unlimited mode. After finishing the story, challenge yourself in unlimited mode and face off against a relentless wave of never-ending enemies to see how long you can survive.
Yeah.
I suck at those modes.
You know, when somebody says player dedicated, all that means is the game is really hard and you have to practice a lot. It does look kind of cool. But I will say, as far as like the new pixel art games that are out, you know, we've talked about quite a few. Matter of fact, we just talked about Broken Roads, which looks amazing visually. This one doesn't look quite as visually arresting as some of the others. But I do see the combo system that they're going for and other stuff like that through the trailer. So if you guys want to check it out, for sure, check it out. Let us know what you think. Anything else on that break?
No, that's it.
All right. Let's move on.
I think I said everything about that game, and they should, like, interview us or something. Or they should come on our show and interview us, and we interview them. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it always works. Like,
exactly. Like, we can't do the hard work, so you guys come to us. You know what I'm saying?
Companies, like, drop bear bites and stuff. They come to us. That's how it works.
Well, I mean, that's how we roll, man. That's how big RP Grinders is now. Like, the developers are coming to us now instead of the other way around. All right, the next story.
They're so sorry they interviewed the game.
They're like, what have we done? We have ruined our careers. Real quickly, let me welcome everybody into chat. Apex Pro Communities in chat. Commander Root, Host Me Raffle. Egromaniac Pro is in chat. And, of course, our good friend Slagar is in chat. So welcome on in, gentlemen and ladies, if there are ladies in there. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Daedalic Entertainment to publish tactical combat RPG Iron Danger in March 2020. And there's a new little teaser. Real quickly, it's set in a world of magic and machinery that draws from both the Nordic myths that inspired J.R.R. Tolkien, epic fantasy, and from modern steampunk and tech noir. Well, that's kind of an interesting combo. Players take on the role of Kapuna, a sharp-minded village girl who becomes imbued with an ancient power that grants dominion over time and death. Drawn into the midst of a war between the city of Kalevala and the armies of the Northlanders, players must master their powers in order to protect mankind against total destruction. So there's some key features. Unique time rewind mechanics. That's kind of cool. I don't think that's unique. We've seen that in, what, Prince of Persia and a few other games. But anyway.
What was the name of that strategy RPG, though?
I don't know. What were you saying, Brayden?
What's the name of that city? Did you say Kalevala? What was that?
Kalevala.
Oh, sorry.
Or Kalevala. Or Kalevala. There's so many different ways.
You sure you didn't say vulva?
I did not say vulva, but that would be kind of cool if it was. Highly interactive environments.
I know you didn't. I just wanted to keep saying vulva.
That's such a fun word, the vulva. Anyways, highly interactive environments provide advantages to succeed against impossible odds. Adventure in a world of steampunk fantasy, meeting unique inhabitants inspired by Finnish folklore and fantasy, fight epic boss monsters, because we've never done that in video games before. And no grinding. Oh, jeez, that just eliminates it. Freak Five's in chat. What's up, Freak Five? No video on the show today, so if you're wondering if there's no video, that's because software. That's why. But welcome on in. Let us know if you can hear us loud and clear, though. That would be cool. Let's see. What else? The no grinding thing is not an endearing thing to me.
Maybe it just means that you get enough experience that you don't need to grind.
Well, it says character progression pace is controlled by the story, ensuring every fight matters. So I guess from that aspect, that's okay with me. But I kind of like the grinding aspect of games. It's what makes games fun to me, like taking my time.
Well, there could be a new game plus where you just blaze through the game.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, like I get both sides of the argument. Like, you know, you want to be able to beat the game. Sometimes there's a fight you just get stuck on or something.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what grinding's for.
You can't level, and you can't level up, so you're kind of stuck. Yeah. But at the same time, like, they want it to be part of their story, and they want the fights to matter. Like, I get that too.
Yeah, I get that too. But
at the same time, you gotta sell to people. People are buying your game, so
give people options.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
let them be able to beat your game. Is what I'm saying.
Freak 5 says, Frank, did you ever see the trauma film Mulva Zombie Ass Kicker? That sounds very familiar, Freak 5. I may have. I've seen quite a few of those B-movie trauma movies, so I probably have. It's not sticking out in my mind right now, but let me think about that. I'll do a little research while we're working on the show. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
We've got the Sekiyo Shooting Stars Bravo has been dated, which is the second game in the series, the first one being Alpha, which releases a little bit earlier next year. But this will come out in February 18th, so almost a month after the first game, which is the January 21st. It will have the games Gunbird, Gunbird 2, Gunbarich, Samurai Aces Episode 1, Samurai Aces Episode 2, and Samurai Aces Episode 3.
Freak 5 is exiled. He's a son of a bitch, man. He says, you know what? He gave me a compliment. He said, Frank never has problems with Super Mario Brothers, and the Goombas are super easy, like they are for everybody else. That's what he said in chat. Just saying. Okay, I'm sorry. Eric, anything else?
No, that's really it.
I would just like to make a correction. that is not what was said in chat.
How dare you?
In fact, nothing was said. It was typed. You know, so Frank lied to you right off the bat.
How dare you? How dare you point out?
He said Frank has that problem with. I'm sorry. He typed that Frank has that.
Frank
problem
is giving us fake news.
The first Goomba in the is the fight that he can't get past. Frank news.
How dare you? How dare you all? You're all exiled, sons of bitches. Welcome on into chat, Freak 5, with your exiled. God damn it. All right. Who's next?
Sorry, one of these days I'll learn to read. maybe.
Breakman, next story, please.
Oh, what? We got to do a story here? Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Pound FE Encore. What the fuck did I just say?
hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag, man. Hashtag? Get it straight. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm old. I still look at it as a...
It is a hashtag, but it's a musical term. I forget what the actual term is. I think it's
You don't know what it
sharp.
Is.
It's sharp.
Oh, yeah, it is sharp. You're right. But still.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions hashtag FE Encore will be based on the Western version of Tokyo Mirage Sessions hashtag FE. What? That's sharp?
Yes, hashtag it is FE sharp.
You mean sharp?
He's right. Yes, he's absolutely right. It is sharp.
Okay. I still don't understand what I said. The official Japanese website for this game, the definitive version of Nintendo Wii U JRPG that blends elements of Persona with Fire Emblem characters, has revealed some details about the people can expect from the release. I know I paused at a weird spot. Namely, it'll be based on the Western release of Tokyo Mirage. I'm not going to read the name again, which means that certain content changes will be present. At the bottom of the site,
which is unfortunate, but Nintendo probably took the path of least resistance and just did that.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't actually need to read that anyway. They're just talking about their article. They want us to go down. Characterizations will change to make them older. Some costumes will change to become less revealing. And to the Secret Hot Springs Go DLC videos.
But lying about characters' ages being older is also wrong.
Yeah, some bullshit, man. I call bullshit.
That's the old lie. Nintendo, like, she looked 18.
Nintendo, I realize gross. I realize you wanted to originally sell this as a T-rated game, so you had to change some stuff to meet that rating. But I think you should have just given this game to the fans and just made it M anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Despite the fact that it largely doesn't have that kind of content in it.
You know, for a short time.
Lying about the age, man. That's wrong.
You know, for a short time, Nintendo got a wild hair up his ass when they came out, when the GameCube was out, and they came out with that Resident Evil remake, and that was like super mature, you know, and they should just keep along those lines.
But it also didn't have like sexual aspects to it, though.
Yeah, so. Like I get the point, like they want these characters to not be as young as they were made in Japan and stuff because they're being sexualized.
They desexualized it a bit because they get more clothing and they changed some of the outfits, and the whole panty like thing is not even a part of the game.
Yeah, I agree with that break.
I wasn't even finished. You guys just cut me off.
Well, so go right ahead. Frank,
God damn it.
but on the other hand, this is probably the game the team originally wanted to make at some point, but Atlas was like, let's just do this because Japan's fucked up.
I guess. What were you saying?
I'm just saying, like, you're changing the ages of the character. It's just a number in the game, but the characters are still young.
If a video game has a character that's supposed to be of a certain age range, does it really matter if you change it digitally?
Here's my whole take on the issue. I mean, for fuck's sake, it's a video game. You know what I mean? Like honestly, it's a fucking video game. It's not like they did like a full motion video capture game and
America is dysfunctional and Nintendo is risk adverse. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, I guess, man. I think our sensitivities are just a little, but I get your point though, Brake. Like you know, you don't. I do agree that I think Japan needs to up their age game when it comes to over sexualization of kids.
If Nintendo wanted to release this game, then they should release this adult game this is what is in this game.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'm not sure I'd actually enjoy the original product as it was released in Japan initially, because that kind of stuff kind of kills the other tone of the game.
Yeah, I guess you have a point too.
So this is like a really like serious game, and people are dying, and everybody's emotional and crying, and then the women are like...
I'm saying the game is actually pretty lighthearted compared to the actual Persona series it's based on.
Yeah. Oh, so nobody's like crying over a coffin with only tassels on her nipples? Nothing like that's tassels. Happening.
Man, that would make for a good game if they were
ever.
Yeah. There's ludonarrative dissonance, and then there's ludo narrative dissonance.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, Break. What do we got next?
Okay.
If they wanted to make a Senua and Kagura type of game, they probably should have just done that. But
yeah,
you know,
whatever. All right, Break.
But Nintendo wouldn't have allowed it in America anyway. So I guess they made a compromise.
I guess, but just changing the number, like just it makes it weirder. Yeah, you know?
I agree. I totally agree.
Creepier. It makes it creepier,
especially considering one of the scenes in the game.
It makes it creepy, is what they did. They did. Good job, Nintendo. You made it creepy. So coming to us live from Silicon Era, Mega Man Fully Charged first season episodes have begun appearing on YouTube.
Yeah, well, we get a second season.
Yeah, that's a question I have. I had all 52 episodes available last year. I have a Legion locked. Let me see. No, nothing on here about season 2. So there we go.
You guys aren't seeing what I'm seeing on this, I don't think, but I'm getting like this ad for Nintendo Labo. But before that, like it has a story about the dude that did the Dead or Alive games holding up a pair of fake breasts. I don't know if you guys are getting that. Yeah,
but I'm starting to get like this feeling like this is getting Capcom'd. Sort of like how Capcom's treated Mega Man over the years. Like they'd get it out there and then just gone.
Wait a minute. Freak Fight says, I can't remember where it happens, but there's a cultural tradition of hiring strippers for funerals. Where is that, man? And can I attend that? Some of those? Can I attend some of those funerals, you know, to pay my respects?
I'm guessing that's one of the religions where they celebrate the life, you know, the life of the person. And
yeah,
I guess, but strippers at a funeral just not, yeah, like that just, wow.
No,
Is the idea that supposed to suggest that strippers are people too and they could feel sadness?
Eric, that you win the internet today, man, for sure.
Send all your complaints to Ad Eric.
and then to hear that sadness, they comfort people.
Yeah, exactly. All right, is that it on that break? Anything else on Mega Man?
No, like I just think it's like they're you know how Capcom doesn't talk about Mega Man much. Like, what's your deal with Mega Man now?
Yeah,
who?
What? Have you been paying attention? They're rolling out more details on the upcoming collection. And
yeah, talking about regular Mega Man. Talking about regular.
And I think the next Mega Man game will be X9. That's what I think.
Okay.
Still, again, I'm talking about OG.
Freak says he thinks it was China, but it could be. Wow, I'd never do that. That'd be kind of cool, man. I mean. I would totally pay my respects.
If it wasn't somebody you knew, but like if it was your dad, like you wouldn't want a stripper there.
No.
No, of course I wouldn't want a stripper.
I'd imagine like certain businesses that do a lot of coke would do this.
Eric is on fire today, man, I swear. All right, let's move on to the next story, guys. It comes to us from Silicon Era. Klee, Nintendo Switch port, will arrive in 2020. Did I say that right?
I think that's
Eric?
Klee.
Klee. Klee, Klee, yeah. Who knows? People looking for another source of atmospheric horror on the Switch will have a port of a PC game to look forward to next year. Invert Mouse and Sekai Games are going to bring Klee to the console. Klee. The announcement appeared at PAX Melbourne. And Sekai Games Twitter account. Strovey.
Well, let me guess what this game's about. Like, you predict the future for people.
In Klee?
They call in and you.
That's Klee.
In a fake Jamaican accent.
Oh God, poor Klee, man. Why you gotta shit on Klee, man? That's uncalled for.
She sucks.
I wonder if she had strippers at her funeral. I don't know. Anyways, in Klee,
so that's,
Klee.
Is that the game? Was I right?
Has any played Claire?
Oh, shit.
Claire. Have you played Claire, Frank?
I've eaten an eClair.
No, there's an indie game on the that's also
yes,
available on the
I have played books. Claire. It's a good game. I didn't finish
is that
it.
A horror game?
Yeah, I would consider it a horror game, for sure. In Klee.
Is there a horror game?
Is there a horror game? I'm sure there's plenty of those. Break.
Really?
Yeah. In Klee, players follow a young woman and her brother as they attempt to escape a house filled with beings that mean them harm. However, all players can do is stay alert, listening for where these creatures could be.
Clock Tower.
Yeah, Clock Tower, I was going to say. Then hiding or using things in the environment to collect items needed to solve puzzles and safely get through the mansion. As you do, you'll learn more about Klee, her family, and what's going on. Sounds kind of cool. I mean, kind of a Clock Tower kind of vibe, but whatever. Looking forward to that in 2020. All right, Eric.
Do you scheme people out of their money? With lies
and fake accents?
Bullshit?
Yeah.
And a fake accent?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's... I would.
Maybe
totally...
you get to the end of the game, you find out it was all a movie. Like, graffiti.
Yeah, it's like the sequel to Apocalypse Now or something, but with starring Klee. All right, Eric, RPGsite.net's story about Protagonist EX1.
Okay. Protagonist EX1 is an indie XCOM-like game heading to Steam in 2020, and developer is called Three Mind Games, and I think it's absolutely funny that it's just called the protagonist.
Yeah.
But you play as an elite special agent sent to protect the world from an incoming alien threat.
Are they referred to as the antagonists?
It looks kind of substandard, but maybe it's still fun. I don't know. Maybe there's more to it, but the character design looks pretty boring.
Yeah, it doesn't look great to me, but maybe it could be good. Who knows, man? All right, Break, what do we got next?
Coming to us live from RPG Site, Persona 5 Scramble, the Phantom Strikers. What?
Yep, that's the game.
Okay, launches in Japan on February 20th, 2020. Huh. 2202020. That's pretty good. Okay, anyway, game launches on that day. Persona 5 Scramble is an action RPG developed by Koei Tecmo's Omega Force team. That's a pretty cool name, mm-hmm. which has been known by Dynasty Warriors and Dragon Quest Heroes series, among others. Just like in the original Persona 5, the player will have up to 4 active members in a team. You can also switch to player-controlled characters during battles with the direction pad. The mysterious female character which showed up in the teaser trailer will also be playable, although her identity is still a mystery.
Yeah,
that's not probably a character that shows up in Persona 5 Royal. That's probably who it is.
Yeah,
they said Alder identity is still yet to be revealed, but I liked what I said
there. Yeah,
PS5 will have a brand new story that takes place at. You sure about brand new story? It takes place about a half a new game's gonna have a new story. You really sure about that? Brand new story takes place about a half a year after Persona 5's ending. Just as the Phantom Thieves have the reunion during summer holidays, mysterious incidents will happen all around Japan. A 6-month reunion? Jeez.
No,
those kind of people? Ugh. Anyway, you'll be also able to explore more spots in Japan's cities other than Tokyo, such as the area nearby Sendai Station. Early purchase of PS5 will come with DLC set that contains normal battle themes from past Persona series.
Well, I'm assuming it's more like a 6-month reunion from the protagonist from the other characters, because the other characters live in Tokyo, and he lives somewhere else.
I know, with the 6-month reunion people, like, come on. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Just saw you people 6 months ago, for God's sakes.
I know.
anyway, early purchase of PS. Jesus. Look at that. God damn it. Early purchase of Persona 5 Scramble will come with DLC set that contains normal battle themes from the past Persona series. Those who missed early purchase will be able to purchase these DLC, which will be separated per each iteration at a later date. And those are Revelations Persona, Normal Battle, Shin Megami Tensei Persona, A Lone Prayer, Persona 2 Innocent Sin, Normal Battle, Persona 2 Eternal Punishment, Normal Battle, Persona 3 Mass Destruction, Persona 3 Portable, Wiping All Out, Persona 4 Reach Out to the Truth, and Persona 4 Golden, Time to Make History.
There you go.
The Japanese limited edition will contain an art book, 2 CDs of PS. Oh, Jesus Christ! They have it abbreviated as P5S, and I keep wanting to say PS5.
Yep.
Anyway, so Persona 5 Scramble original soundtrack, a Blu-ray disc showing behind the scenes of making the theme song, a hand towel, and Seikoshi bag. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either. Maybe somebody can tell us what is a Sakoche bag. Is it that like coach bags, like in the United States, but that's what they call them in Japan? I don't know.
I guess, but this actually sounds like a pretty cool like package. I mean, you get a towel,
yeah,
and a Blu-ray disc and 2 CDs. Yeah,
as we all know, the most useful tool when hitchhiking the galaxy is having a towel.
Exactly.
Don't forget the towel.
Yep. No, Persona 5 obviously is a great game, and you know anything Persona related is going to be really good. So that's good news, man. I hope we get that special edition here. That sounds like a hefty, you know, Persona game with a bunch of cool, you know, stuff. Freak 5 just put in a wiki of funeral strippers. I'll look at that. I'll look at that in a second, Freak 5. Actually, I can do
it. Yeah, he needs to get his pants off first.
How dare you? How do you? I would never take off my pants with both you guys on the line, ever. Okay.
Oh, sorry, start with your pants off. I got it.
Dare you. All right, next story comes to us from RPG side. Dungeon crawling roguelike RPG conglomerate 451 exits Steam's early access in February 2020. So there's the whole, you know, the whole shebang right there. And it's a grid-based dungeon-crawling RPG. It offers players an evolution of one of gaming's most beloved genres, tasked with taking down the corrupt corporations that threaten Sector 451 of Conglomerate City. Establish and manage a crack team of cloned agents, altering their DNA. Yeah, exactly. And offering them the latest high-end cyber limbs, implants, and weaponry to best carve out an edge in this city-wide struggle. Sounds sort of like cyberpunk. So, yeah, there you go. Key features, classic dungeon crawling, manage your resources more than just body mods, pain and trauma system, procedural cyber dungeons. If you die in the game, each mission could be your last, thanks to ancient permadeath. So I can't stand permadeath, man. It's one of the worst things ever.
But like, if you think about it, that's how most games used to be, was permadeath.
Yeah. I mean, well, this game kind of looks like Legend Grimrock, but cyberpunk.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, like action games, for instance, you get 3 lives, but I mean, you touch something and you lose a life.
Yeah.
I mean, how ridiculous was that to begin with?
Yeah, cosmic damage should never be fatal.
Like, oh, the guy touched me. What? I'm dead. What the? But he didn't even have a weapon. What the fuck just happened? I had a machine gun.
He's diseased. That's what it is.
Wow.
It's
I'm
like
reading
Contra. Like, I got a flamethrower. He had nothing. What the
fuck?
Yeah,
I know. You know, the worst game like that was fucking Gradius, man. Like you'd go through and you'd, like, die, but you'd have all that wicked weaponry, and then you'd have to start all over.
Oh,
man.
Gradius is so good, too.
It is.
Like,
great
all those
game.
Weapons were so badass when you got them leveled, and losing them, it was.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus, I shit myself. I'm so angry.
Exactly.
I'm at least I can understand the contact damage killing you because you're in a ship, so if a crash gets the wall or the ceiling.
Right.
Yeah.
Not like Mario runs into a walking mushroom and dies, you know?
Yeah. I'm reading about this.
Well, what if that mushroom is poisonous? That works.
Well, we know they're not poisonous because they introduced the poison ones in the second one.
Yeah. I'm reading about this.
So they didn't have poison. He just. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what his excuse was.
He had too many shrooms.
I think he saw a walking mushroom and peed himself to death.
I'm reading about this funeral stripper thing, man. I guess it's like big in Taiwan, but it spread to China. But the Chinese government wants to shut that shit down. But it's kind of interesting, man. It's it says here in 2017, 50 pole dancers performed during the funeral procession of former Chiayi Council, City Council Speaker Sung Shang in Chiayi City.
Yep, I knew they were doing coke or drunk.
Exactly.
Or both.
Yeah.
I was going to say both.
Right here it says the purpose of the strippers, not only to attract crowds, but to, quote, appease wandering spirits. So there you go.
Perverts.
No, just keep the ghost
spirit
at bay.
Perverts.
Either keep the ghost at bay or keep them interested and occupied, I guess. I don't fucking know. Who knows? All right, Eric, what do we got next?
We've got Darksider Genesis has been dated, but it's kind of unfortunate because the console versions have been delayed because, of course, they have, because they want to release the Steam version first as well as the Epic Games Store version.
Break.
It says PC and Stadia versions will launch on December 5th. All the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch versions will be released on February 14th. Why Valentine's Day? It doesn't. I don't think it says Steam or Epic though. It's just they haven't decided yet. I guess.
Yeah. Freak 5 says, so Brake made a joke about someone wearing tassels crying over a coffin, but it may have happened. So there you go, Brake man. You were on point.
What if like all the strippers were like they knew the guy who died personally or something?
Oh my god, man. That'd be awful, man. I think that'd be anyways, it just seems kind of morbid to me, but I guess if it pays well, if you're a stripper, you know, fuck it. Whatever. All right. What do we got next? Is it my? Oh, it's Breakman. Go next. Breakman, you here? Did we lose?
Yeah, if I stop hitting the mute button, yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That comes just live from RPG site. I was talking.
It's so good.
Anyway, Big Ben formally announces Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song narrative RPG from developers of the console. And at
the console.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
You said console.
You said console.
I said console? Sorry.
Yes.
Council. At BDXCon in Berlin, Germany, Bing Ben has formally announced Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song, a narrative RPG set in the World of Darkness universe. Okay. The narrative RPG was teased at Big Ben Week this past May. The little information was given at the time the game is being developed by Big Bad Wolf. Set for 2021 release. No trailer. What you couldn't see it anyway because we don't have video. Vampire Masquerade, because our video is broken because Frank. Vampire Masquerade is the most iconic role-playing game of its generation and sets the standards for many tabletop gamers. Sorry. The first setting in the World of Darkness universe created by White Wolf Publishing in 1981. Vampire Masquerade transposes the vampire myth into modern societies. The player takes control of one of these immortal creatures hiding in the shadows of our cities. They struggle to control their bloodthirsty instincts by leading a life of both predator and outcast. In a world where the boundaries between reality and the supernatural are always blurred, vampires in the World of Darkness are nothing like the solitary monsters of ancient legends. They are superior and sophisticated creatures who live among humans behind a shield of secrecy, the Masquerade. Organized into complex secret societies, they create their own laws and are members of distinct clans which contrasting visions of their role in the world. Thrilled with the success of the console, just kidding, the council, Big Bad Wolf Studio intends to continue specializing in narrative RPGs, a new genre that they are helping to define with their creations. With the adaptation of Vampire the Masquerade, the team is working on its most ambitious project. The game will feature a strong story supported by solid RPG mechanics and respect the rules of 5th edition, the rules of the 5th edition of Vampire the Masquerade and the universe of the World of Darkness.
Yeah, I don't think you need to go on, man. Okay. Vampire the Masquerade's a great tabletop game. It uses, from what I remember, uses like 10-sided dice, if I remember. But the story is what set that game apart, man. It's just really, really fun. You're basically, if you can imagine like you know, different cliques of mobsters as vampires, that's what Vampire the Masquerade is a lot like. It's a lot of intrigue, a lot of, you know, a lot of fun stuff. Freak 5 says, yeah, all 10-sided. Yeah, so good stuff. I love Vampire the Masquerade. It's been years since I played it. I'd love to sit in on a game sometime just to get back into it a little bit. But big fun. Nice story for Halloween for sure, Eric. Appreciate that. Speaking of White Wolf, Werewolf, The Apocalypse, Earthblood, revealed at PDXCon with a reveal trailer.
Peggy.
Let's see. It says... it'll release 2020. It's an action RPG for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Werewolf's another one that also uses 10-sided. They're all in the same family. It's Freak Pie says vampire, mage, werewolf, hunter. The only ones that I really liked were werewolf and vampire, and then I think it was, what was it, Wraith, Freak Five? I can't remember. It was... I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was Wraith or something, and I think they had one about mummies or something, and just good stuff. Good stuff all the way around. I wouldn't mind playing this Werewolf Apocalypse game either. So basically it follows the story of Cahal, an exiled werewolf who returns to his tribe to find an oil extraction.
Has anybody played the Pathfinder games?
Yes. Yeah, I have, Eric, to answer your question. They're pretty good. Oil extraction sites set around his home forest, destroying the land around the sanctuary. As Cyanide puts it, at times wolf, at times a human. Cahal can transform into a werewolf when rage consumes him. Let's see. Okay.
As long as he's not one of those Twilight werewolves.
Yeah.
That are just like dogs.
No. These are like very visceral... kill you, like rend you, fucking completely rend you, werewolves. Freak 5 says there was also Changeling and Wraith. Yeah, Wraith the Oblivion. There you go. Yep. I don't remember Changeling. I don't think I got into that, but I remember Wraith a little bit, but the main ones were Werewolf and Vampire the Masquerade. Both those games were, man, really, really good. Especially Werewolf, man. I really enjoyed my time playing that game. So, yeah. All right, so that is the news. Let's see what else we got here, guys. No homie discounts this week.
Actually, I have one.
Oh, you do? Go for it.
Yes. Anybody who has a Costco, lives in them, and they have a Costco card, Xbox Live cards, and PlayStation Store cards. They're selling the $100 pack for $90.
Oh, all right. That's a nice little.
So you save $10 on.
Yeah, you know. Save $10. That's nice, man. And if you couple that coming up with the Black Friday sales online, you'll catch some good sales on the PlayStation Store.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So even more money saved. So.
Also, if you're really hurting for an RPG on your mobile device, the Kamco sale's gone on for Android.
Okay. Freak Fight says, Changeling, at least first edition, had interesting mechanics where the Changeling, using their magic, gave players a bonus if they did some action. Yeah, I never got into it, man. It didn't seem very, very interesting, at least story-wise to me. The others were far more, I don't know, enriched story-wise, I guess, is the best way to put it. Breakman, anything in your Dear Breakman this week?
There actually were. I need to bring you, that up.
Hold on.
It's not like there's not like Dear Breakman questions.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy there was stuff in there, Breakman, because it is that's kind of the how you know kind of Dracula-esque sounding you know type deal. So
I,
what
I
do you
guys should just say there were Twitter comments or something. They're not really like Dear
that's
Breakman.
Okay. That's okay.
We got a link from Freak. Since we weren't here last week, he actually sent us this. I think last week to a game called Feast of Legends. Mm-hmm. So feastoflegends.com for anybody there. I don't know if you guys want me to explain it or not. I don't have to do all this work here. Yeah, let me see here. Feast of Light is a tabletop RPG presented by Wendy's. So, yeah.
Are you kidding? Presented by Wendy's?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess. Are we going to have to like all be gingers in this game or what, you know, what's the deal?
Are we going to fight Colonel Sanders to the death or something?
Yeah, Colonel Sanders is like the ultimate boss.
Just make it Mugen.
So every level's a different like mascot. Like you got to fight Ronald McDonald first level.
And then what's Taco Bell's mascot? Like a big bell. Like you have to fight a big bell. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
They have a lame mascot. They need a better one. Yeah. What Chick-fil-A's is what those cows that can't spell.
No, Taco Bell's could be the expired mascot with a chihuahua.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay.
Oh, cool. You could bring back like Spuds McKenzie then.
Yeah, why not?
If we're going back into the how about that Dunkin' Donuts guy?
Yeah, time to make the donuts.
Yeah, that guy, we gotta have him in there.
All right. What else you got, Break?
What were we talking about?
Anyway,
there's also a comment by I don't know if you got back to him or not, but at Mike Z says SEZ, he said, "Oh, nobody responded. I mean, I'll do an interview." This is something in regards to what that Eric said to Yacht Club Games at Yacht Club Games.
Yeah, nothing's materialized on that, but maybe Eric can follow up on that. Maybe we can get an interview with Yacht Games. Those are the guys that did...
I wasn't talking to the Yacht Games specifically. I was actually trying to talk to Lab Zero.
Yeah. Well, if we can get Yacht Games, that'd be good too, man. They did... didn't they do the Shovel Knight games?
Well, it's more like they did Shovel Knight and then they kept doing expansions.
Yeah, yeah. Freak Five says...
Which were free DLC, by the way.
Yeah. Freak Five says Taco Bell's is a clogged toilet. Hashtag I think today.
And yeah, I think Mike is from Lab Zero Games, not Yacht Club Games. Right.
We'll take any interview we can get. So, yeah.
That's true. We aren't picky. We don't have that choice.
Even do funeral strippers. So if you're listening, you know, we'll definitely interview you. So what else you got, Break?
There is what happened last week, which we were all talking about, and that was solved, and then nothing.
Okay. All right.
Twitter has been abandoned and discarded and abused and neglected, and it's this poor dog that's on that foot chain tied around the tree, like literally a foot long, and water bowl's empty. Like, poor Twitter. Twitter's an abused dog.
Yeah. Poor Twitter. Poor Twitter. Poor us. Like, what do we got? Like 9 subscribers? Jesus Christ. We need another subscriber. Our goal is like what? Half a year. So
our goal is to have double digit subscribers.
Exactly. Exactly.
We want double digit listeners.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to
Inquiring Minds Want to Know.
Inquiring Minds want to know what you've been playing, Break.
Let me see. I played the Master Chief Collection a bit. There's a lot. I'll be playing that more over time, of course. So I'll probably be playing that all winter because it's just so much.
Yeah.
Also the same phone games I always play, the South Park and that. There's nothing really new to talk about. Oh, wait, there is something new to talk about, because I've been playing the Friday the 13th game, because they gave it out for free on Xbox Live.
Oh, there you go. What are your impressions?
I've been enjoying it. It kind of sucks being a consoler, I guess, though. Like, I think you need, like, a team. Like, playing with randoms, mostly people not using microphones and stuff. Yeah. I have yet to survive Jason.
Yeah. The game is really hard. Welcome Lurks into chat. Lurks is back in chat. Welcome back.
But I have been playing it. I've been having fun, enjoying it.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's fairly repetitive.
That's kind of what my feeling is, that I want more.
Yeah,
like that it's kind of limited in what it has, and I'm hoping that'd be like DLC, but that's, I guess, too late for that. Probably the sequel, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it's never going to happen, man. There's been so many lawsuits and all kinds of bullshit going on. They wanted to do so much with that game. Freak Fight says he's been playing a couple of new mobile games that supposedly pay out real money. You need $10 to cash out? I should have that soon with less than a week of play. So we'll see if they actually play out. Yeah, let us know.
That's terrible, because I had such great ideas. Like, they could just come to me, and I have your sequels already planned for you. See, the next one, you're going to do, like, basically the full story mode. You're going to go through the movie mode of each game. Each movie. You're going to go through each movie for the Friday the 13th, and obviously you're going to expand multiplayer in the options. And you're going to have, like, create your own multiplayer stuff. Okay. And then the following sequel, you're going to start doing other horror movies. So you're going to do like Freddy and Jason. Well, I've got this all worked out for him.
Let's go back to the Friday 13 sequels. Are you saying there's going to be nudity in these games? Is that what you're saying, Break?
I'm saying there has to be.
Okay. I'm totally okay with that.
It's kind of funny. They do hint at, like, there's some side boob pictures and
how the PlayStation handles it. Sony will be angry.
Yeah. They were working on a version of Jason from Jason X, apparently, Freak 5 says. Well, that'll never come out now. That really sucks. That would have been cool. Fuck. All right.
Yeah, why are there pictures of half naked women in the cutscene, in the loading screens? I'm not quite sure. There's a woman who looks really afraid who's in the water in her underwear. Which I still don't understand, because you go to a lake with your bathing suit, right? So why'd she go for underwear?
You, sir, have not seen the Friday the 13th movies. Usually your birthday suit is what's used for...
She isn't using a birthday suit. She's in her underwear.
I know.
No, they probably had to compromise somewhere.
Yeah.
And then there's another one.
It's kind of like how animes have characters wear towels when they go in the baths, because they can't show them naked.
Or the old TV shows where everybody makes love, quote unquote, under the covers.
No.
Has anybody in life, in the history of the world, ever had sex underneath covers?
No. That'd be a hassle.
Just teenagers trying to hide from their parents. That's it. Nobody else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Anything else you've been playing, Break?
No, it's a fun game. I'm gonna keep playing it, and too bad you guys have PlayStation, because I could, like, you definitely use some help, because
Well, I suck at that game, man. I mean, just ask Freak Five.
Even still, but, you know, even one person helping would be nice. Like, I was playing earlier, or last night I was playing, and I got the battery for the car, and I got the gas for the car, and I couldn't find
it. I just want to say, Dungeon Buster's not here because he's probably busy playing the Outer Worlds, bastard.
Yeah, probably.
So I was like, I walked away, and I was searching through every damn house trying to find it. And I see some guy starting it up and trying to leave without me. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
I did all the goddamn work. Couldn't find a key.
Son of a bitch. Exactly, yeah. Man. That sucks.
Yeah. I got in the car and then Jason fucking flipped us. So it
didn't matter. But he flipped you off too?
No.
That would be awesome if he flipped you off as he flipped the car.
Teabag.
Yeah, and teabag you.
Fantastic.
I don't think it'd be, get any better than that. Freak5 says he recently unlocked an emote where male counselors grab their crotches. So there you go. You can get that emote eventually.
I wish you could skip the cutscenes in the offline mode.
Yeah.
The challenge mode.
Oh, I got you. Because
I'm tired of hearing the dumb fucking comments from these stupid people that I don't give a shit that I just want to kill. It makes me want... I guess it kind of makes you want to kill more. Maybe that's why they did it.
Yeah, probably. Raging, you know.
There's a bug in the game. Jason can throw a knife at the car and destroy it. Oh, that's fantastic.
That's great.
He knocked us over. Like, he tipped the car on its side when I was in it. Like, what the fuck? I didn't know you could do that, Jason. Yeah. Fucker.
All right, let's move on. Real quickly, I've been playing MPQ and Talos Principle. Haven't had much time to play at all. I've had a busy week with my car being on the fritz and other shit. So, that's what I've been playing. Eric, what you been playing?
Lots of stuff for the past 2 weeks, but a little bit more London Detective Mysteria. Legend Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 3. I finished that, and I still have yet to get the platinum because I goofed up my second playthrough on my Nightmare playthrough, and I missed a treasure somewhere. I don't know where, but now I have to do it a third time.
Oh no!
But at least it's not a nightmare anymore. But that's. And I don't know when I'll get back to it because I got lots of other stuff to do. But Darksiders 2 Definitive Edition for the Switch. That's so stupid. Definitive.
Definitive is so stupid.
Along with remastered or mastered editions.
Remastered is the worst.
Okay, one really quick back to the Friday the 13th. In the week that I've been playing it, I've got to be Jason once.
Yeah.
Okay. But, a game called Knight's Quest, which is basically a Zelda clone, only it's not that great. Because it's got technical issues, but Children of Morta, which is fun, but it's roguelike in the sense. It's got the procedural generation, which kind of bothers me. But at least, unlike other roguelikes, you get to keep some semblance of your experience getting through an area, so you can use the money you get to upgrade the overall stats of the entire family. And you can also gain levels, so you keep your levels. And, like, after every so many levels, you'll earn a permanent boost to the whole entire family's stats based on that character's biggest strength. But, so you're encouraged to play as the other characters often until you find one that clicks with you and helps you get through an area. But I think it's got somewhat of the same problem that Rogue Legacy has, where, like, you just have to deal with lots of grinding before you're strong enough to get through a boss fight without dying quickly and do enough damage to kill them before they can kill you. Because, like, one of the things I think the game could have benefited from is, like, you always have a way to heal. Well, like, you don't really in this game. It's like either the RNG is good enough to you that you can get enough healing items, or you can get the relic that lets you heal after I have so many seconds cooldown after you use it. Which, it doesn't heal enough, by the way. It needs to heal more.
All right. What else you been playing, Eric?
Monkey King Hero is Back, which is a licensed video game based on a movie from, like, 2015, which isn't bad, but it could be a lot better. And the movie is just basically standard kids movie, animated CG kids movie, where Monkey, where Sun Wukong is actually voiced by Jackie Chan, but in this game they replace all the voice actors.
Of course,
they're all European voice actors now for some reason. Don't ask me why. But I also played Valfaris, which is basically Slain, but if Slain were sci-fi themed and still had the heavy metal theme, but also they added guns to it, so it's more like Contra in that respect.
Okay.
So if you want, that's a good alternative to Contra Rogue Core, which I also played, rented from Gamefly, because I decided that since I'm saving up for a PS5, I'm not going to be buying games for a year or whatever. Maybe only a handful of games that I'll pick up, like Xenoblade Definitive Edition or something like that. But that was the first game I put in my queue, because I was going to finally get around to doing the final Contra retrospective, which I did yesterday. I just haven't uploaded yet. And I only played two levels before I was like, yeah, this game is garbage. I'm done.
Wow.
You can hear my review of that game eventually once I upload it.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it here. But other than that, I played Destiny Connect, which is a cute little RPG that has nods to both Earthbound, Chrono Trigger, and even Freaky Friday, with just how the character design looks and the fact that you
the movie Freaky Friday?
No, the art style of the box for the movie.
Okay.
Okay.
But
the original or the
original? Yes. Oh, okay. Not the stupid one with Jamie Lee Curtis and whoever it was. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the one with what's her name? God, I can't think of her name. When she was young, shit.
I say that specifically because the first place you go back in time to is 1970. So,
wow.
Yeah, but I also played Dark Devotion because I got the press kit from them, and I feel so bad because they gave me all this crap in this bag. And let's see, there's a candle, a pendant, fake pile, bundle of herbs that are scented, and a gauze wrap, and a bag that has stones in it, and a little notebook that had the code written on it. But I feel bad because it is a melding of two genres that don't meld well together, especially since they did a spectacularly bad job of, like, specking you at your beginning so that it's not too terribly difficult. But I guess when you beat bosses, you'll get stronger, but, like, only marginally so that you can actually get strong enough to beat the next area based on... But it's largely skill-based because it's very easy to die because you only get 2 health when you start after you do the intro level. Mm. And it's a roguelike because you don't get levels... But, like, you do, like, based on the RNG, you'll pick up items that the enemies drop or find in treasure chests. But if you die, you don't get to keep them. Like, you get, like, a weird skill point system that lets you invest it into a permanent buff that you get when you resurrect. But okay. That's the only way you can progress by grinding. But you use this other thing called faith to open doors and, like, get other temporary buffs. Or, like, strength and buffs that you might already have.
Okay.
But, it's not fun because bosses, you have to fight bosses and they have so much more health than you, and it then becomes a game of dodging because blocking is kind of useless because then it makes you vulnerable to the next attack that they might have. And it consumes more stamina to block an attack than it is to dodge an attack. So you're better off doing hit and runs.
Yeah. All right.
And I don't like the fact that there are 2 dodge buttons. Like, one for backwards and one for forwards. Like, why can't I just hold it in a direction with one button?
Yeah.
It could free up my fingers to do something else.
Yeah. All right. What else you've been playing, Eric?
Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz HD, which is an HD remastering of Banana Blitz.
Okay. Those games are always fun.
Is arguably one of the better Monkey Ball games.
Yeah. Monkey Ball's fun. I like Monkey Ball. Super Monkey
Ball.
But,
I'll have a review for that.
Hard for me. Trying not to fall off the edges in those kind of games. Yeah.
They're fun. They're just that's a good game to play with a bunch of people. You know, you get a bunch of people and play those games. All right.
I don't think it's like a multiplayer like all at once game. I think you have to take turns.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's all I've been playing.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I'll get Code Vein, which I'll have a review for after The Shining.
Okay.
The Shining.
The right, Shining. Speaking of reviews.
RP Grinders, reviews.
Let me do my reviews real quick, Eric, and then I'll let you do yours. I've been doing the Creep Show thing. Might as well continue here with episode 4, which included the stories The Companion and Lydia Lane's Better Half. And The Companion is basically a scarecrow story, a scary scarecrow story. Really good. I don't want to spoil anything on it. It's only half an hour long. And then the second story is really scary. It's about a woman that's like a CEO of a company. She promotes this guy over this woman that's her girlfriend. The girlfriend gets pissed off. Stuff ensues, and she ends up accidentally killing her friend. And they end up – let's just put it this way. They end up with each other in an elevator. And stuff happens from there, and it's really scary. I highly recommend Creepshow. It is a pure throwback to the old movies.
And I just want to interrupt you real quick with if you said that she ends up in the elevator with them with somebody, and stuff happens. If you said like in a softer voice, you know,
how dare you? You're exiled.
It would have had a completely different meaning.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I did it very monotone, Brake. Because otherwise, you know, I see where you're coming from, Brake. Man, I would have definitely watched that movie for sure.
And I gotta say, what the hell? Like he's telling me in chat, Freak is telling me that. Apparently, when the game first came out, you could kill each other when you're a counselor. What the hell, man? You can't do that. What the fuck? Why would they take that? God. What the hell?
Yeah. So I'm definitely giving it a 9 out of 10. I don't think it gets much better for a television show, this Creepshow. So if you like scary stuff, which this is the Halloween episode, Creepshow is going to be right up your alley. It's only on Shudder. I highly recommend getting Shudder because there's so much good stuff on Shudder. If you're a horror fan, it's a no-brainer. Get it. The next movie that I saw was a movie called Wax Mask. Wax Mask is an interesting movie, and it's got a small story behind it. Dario Argento, who did the Suspiria original, and he's been involved in a lot of those old Italian giallo movies. He did the Mother's Tear trilogy, which I can't remember what all three were, but they all kind of connect, those three movies, and one of them Suspiria and the other two. I think Mother of Tears is one of them, and can't remember the other one, but they all connect. But the interesting story is that he wanted Lucio Fulci to direct this movie, and Lucio Fulci is known for like the old giallo zombie movies like Zombie 2, which is the famous one with the zombie versus shark battle and stuff like that. But Fulci passed away 2 weeks before they were set to film the movie. But it still has that old school giallo feel, you know, where it's Italian actors, but they dub over their voice type thing. And it's kind of creepy. It's not the greatest giallo movie I've ever seen, but I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. I give it a 7 out of 10. So if you like those old school giallo, you know, kind of Suspiria-esque type movies, zombie movies, then it's a movie that you probably want to watch. It's basically a guy that killing – it's sort of like a Jack the Ripper. It's got a Jack the Ripper feel. It's like set in that era. And, you know, just lots of cool kills and, you know, stuff like that. So check it out, Wax Mask. So, all right, Eric, what you got? You got a couple of reviews as well for Halloween.
The Shining, which is the movie adaptation of the book from Stephen King, although you could barely call it an adaptation, more like I'm just going to do my own thing based on this idea.
Yeah, which is fine, yeah.
But anyways, I liked the camera work and the way that they shot all the angles, and it's like I don't see movies made like that anymore. It's kind of sad.
Yeah,
they don't use that technique more often.
Well, Kubrick was he was a legend. He was unique. Yeah. I mean, there'll never be anybody like him.
Yeah,
which exactly. is unfortunate. I mean, he was fantastic.
Great, great director. Great director.
Great use of music too.
Yep.
And if you watch his movies, like there are small details, especially in The Shining.
Yes. Yes.
Really tiny details.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the camera work that you're talking about he has it all the background set up in specific ways. He'll have items set up where it's hard to explain. You know what I mean, Frank?
They're
there.
But there are also things that you wouldn't pick up on until you got like a second or maybe fourth viewing or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. That kind of stuff. Like it's really deep stuff. Like Kubrick was he was ahead of his time, but then at the same time there's been nobody like him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Here's the thing I'll say, and I don't mean to cut into your review. I just think The Shining
is just surprising. You think people would try to emulate him considering how much time has passed since he died.
Oh gosh. He is this movie, The Shining, you guys are on the head with that. You need to see it multiple times. When you first see it, on the surface, it's a scary movie, right? It's about a guy that goes insane and
I was debating whether or not he A, went insane, or B, was already insane, but they just made him worse.
That's
he was possessed.
Yeah.
The way Jack Nicholson was, I think it was designed. It was based. It was. I've thought about this. I've often not liked Jack Nicholson's performance, but I think it was, as Eric just said, maybe he was probably insane the entire time, and that's what Kubrick was trying to get through.
Yeah,
he didn't just go insane. He already was.
Yeah, there's debate about that, but I'm going to point you to something
He already was, and the ghost just pointed him in the right direction as to where he was supposed to go.
Yeah,
because he's supposed to be with them. I think that what was in that picture at the end of him in the original the original staff of the mansion.
Yeah,
which makes me wonder if he's like a reincarnation of one of the previous characters.
Yeah, see, I was gonna say you guys are just now finding out like some of the stuff from The Shining. I've seen this movie. I think it's my all-time favorite horror movie. Okay. I love it.
Oh well, let me say one thing with The Shining. Mrs. Brakeman asked me that one time, at one point, she mentioned something about the nudity in it, and I didn't. Uh-huh. I was like, what nudity in it? And I realized it's because I mostly have seen the show like on cable.
Uh huh. Right.
I wasn't seeing like the unedited. Like, I'd never really seen it unedited. I'd always seen it on cable. So like the whole that nude scene was never in it.
Yeah,
and there were other things that I guess weren't really seen either. So,
yeah.
But
if I'd seen the original when I was younger, I probably would have had a greater appreciation for it, especially because there was a naked woman in it.
So. Yeah,
I didn't know that at the time because
I was
looking at Jason movies for naked women. But anyway,
I wanted to when I saw this movie, I was thinking about Corpse Party and how it's. Plot is somewhat similar, only without the psychic aspect, of course. Instead, they went with a spirit Miko, descended from a Miko from family of Shinto priests and priestesses and Mikos, but being vulnerable to the dark spirits that dwelled within this evil nexus that was created after the death of a girl in an elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Just like. So it kind of has elements of Shining in that game. So I'm wondering if they were inspired by it.
I'm sure, Eric. You guys touched on a point. The detail that Kubrick put in there, like there's Native American genocide themes in that movie.
I got the sense in the Shining that they weren't so much ghosts as they were like the strong emotions of people that lived there in the past, like traces of that, like were left behind, and somehow through through the Indian magic or the people that were buried there, actually, combined with that, and then made an entity that was just monstrous.
Eric, I think that there were no ghosts in that movie at all. I think if you, because I saw an interesting analysis, and I pointed you towards other interesting analysis on qualitative learning about The Shining. But there's another theory that, like, every time you see Jack talking to a quote-unquote ghost, there's a mirror there. And there's always, like...
And there's also never anyone else around.
Right, yeah. Right.
It never happens with anyone else around. It's always by himself.
Yep. So that's why I mean, the theory, in my view, is that there were no ghosts in that thing. And he may have been crazy when he started, and I think there's credibility to that based on the whole child molestation theme that's going on in that movie.
But I do have to wonder, though, like, what – like, the scene when she runs into the – and she sees the bear and the dude in the room.
Yes.
And she's horrified what she's seeing. I wonder what she's actually seeing.
That's up to interpretation, Eric. I thought the same
thing. Not only that, but little Danny, like, he sees shit all the time, you know, like twins and the blood and all that other shit.
Yeah.
So, because he has the shinning.
The shinning, of course. The shinning.
I don't want to be sued by Disney because Disney owns Fox now.
To me,
I do want to see the sequel too, though.
Yes, I do. Doctor Sleep. I think it's going to be good. I just think that movie is almost as perfect as it gets from a horror aspect, because there's so many. I mean, you can talk about ghost or no ghost. You can talk about insanity and psychological thriller horror. You can talk about
the book now, though.
You can talk about a little bit of gore, and you could talk about, like, not serial killer aspects, but like killer aspects, like a slasher type thing.
If there's one thing I got to complain about, it's like the dead black man trope.
Yeah. But if you're
going to read the book, you should know for a long time. I don't think he even talks about it positively now, but Stephen King hated the movie.
Yeah, he hated the movie.
Because Kubrick took a lot of, like, his own interpretation and stuff like that. Like, he took a lot of, what do you call those?
Liberties.
Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no, there is that, but that doesn't take away from that movie at all. Whether or not Stephen King likes it.
No, I'm not saying it is a movie. It's a fantastic movie.
Oh, yeah,
I'm just saying, like, the author, like, the book and the movie.
The book is different.
Yeah. Yeah, don't expect them to be the same thing. Like,
yeah.
I also do have to wonder if it's, like, does Stephen King have, like, a big interest in, like, Native American folklore stuff?
Yes, he does. Yep. He does.
Because that's also an element in Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
And it's also an element in It.
Dreamcatcher.
It's also an element in, like, a couple other movies.
Yeah, Dreamcatcher was another one. Yeah. That's definitely a running theme for Stephen King. But I just think The Shining's a fantastic movie. What would you give it, Eric?
I'd give it a 9.
Yeah. I differ slightly. I think it's a perfect horror movie. I give it a perfect 10. I don't think I've ever reviewed it, but I would definitely give it a 10. But all right, what else you got? What would you give it, Brake? Shining.
I don't know. I'm not sure what I would give it. I just, because every time I think of The Shining, I always think of that South Park parody, because that was like the South Park, like, was hitting the nail. Like, that's when they were pretty perfect. Like, their whole Homer Simpson thing, like, no beer, no TV makes Homer something.
Yeah.
Go crazy. Don't mind if I do. And he's nuts, you
know. Okay, fair enough.
And then he's like, here's Johnny. Don't. He goes in the wrong room and, like, he starts, here's Homer. And here's Homer. It's a fantastic movie, and I mean, they've been doing parodies like the Simpsons, and just everyone's paid homage to, and South Park, paid homage to that movie.
Homage.
Yeah.
Homage.
What are you, a European?
I'm a peeing in the bush. Anyways. All right.
A homage? Can I say homage? Homage.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. All right, Eric, a quick review of Code Vein because we've got some exciting stuff to get to.
Okay, Code Vein is – Code Vein is the team that worked on I think Freedom Wars. I could be wrong about that, but they did the God Eater series, and now they decided to do their own stab at making a Souls-like game. And it's a fun game, but it is definitely like one of the weaker Souls clones. And I'm hoping it'll be a much stronger sequel, because the whole game takes place confined in a very Demon Souls-like fashion. They're stuck in a nexus, and like it's like this veil that's like a blood mist that is also poisonous, so they can't escape it. They have to live within the confines of that sphere that's been set up as a result of like the world falling apart and being overrun with a bunch of murderous monsters. In response to deal with the threat, they made these basically vampire zombie human hybrids, injected them with like a parasite that they genetically engineered that resurrects them after they died by being killed by the horrors that they were facing. And so they basically become revived superhumans, and in order to survive they need to drink human blood. So basically they get donations by the government and stuff like that. So, but they were basically stuck in this veil, and I guess they get supplies dropped in them, because like that's the only way to get stuff. But and then other than that, they're self-sufficient. And things are looking grim because getting blood is very difficult for them. But your character supposedly has the ability to make blood springs, because you find this out later in the game, but you apparently killed the queen, which is like was the start of this whole fiasco within these confines that where like things went even to greater shit. But you find out that they inherited some of the queen's DNA or whatever, so you have some of her abilities. And that's also the same reason why you have the ability to switch between quote-unquote blood veils, or basically your character classes, because unlike Dark Souls, where you get to choose what stats to level up and then you can make a build based off that, you can just swap on the fly. So the game encourages you to try different play styles, although you could just end up sticking with one to just get through the game like I did. So I just went with the big beefy sword weapons and just killed everything.
Yeah, there you go. So what are you giving Code Vein, Eric?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay, fair enough. That's
a lot of people are giving it 7s, but I think 8's fair.
Okay, fair. All right. No problemo, man. Sounds like...
And the only reason I bought it is because I had some money from selling some stuff on eBay, so I basically bought it for around half the cost, because I found it for, like, close to $40. It was, like, $45 on eBay. So, mm-hmm. like, sure.
Yeah.
Just put some money in.
Why not? Well, all right. Anybody have a heiscapade this week? I do, but I'm going to hold mine for next week because I want to get to some other stuff.
Mm-mm.
All right. You, Eric, no?
Heiscapades, no.
Okay. Let's move on to...
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the Week.
All right, Breakman, Stinko of the Week.
There was a nurse. I don't want to get into details, but the jackass's name was Aaron, and fuck that guy. So that's it. That's all I'm going to say with that. And over a week ago, the city came into my yard, and they cut tree branches down, which is much appreciated because these trees that they planted are starting – they're starting to go up into the house, you know, and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So mm-hmm. it was definitely something that had to happen. So what do you think they did with the tree branches when they're done with them?
Just left them on your yard. I mean,
yeah, why... they took all the ones that were like on the sides of the house, and they pulled them all into my front yard, and they just left them there.
Oh, how nice.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
So they're still there because I don't know the fuck to do with them. It's huge. It's like a tree is in my front fucking yard right now.
You should call the city and tell them to get that shit out of your yard.
They have been called. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Fuck that, man. They get a negative 10. Anything else, Breakman?
No, that's it.
All right, Eric, you're up.
For Stinkos, right?
Yes.
Bethesda is the Stinko this week. So we had Blizzard the last 2 weeks with the Hong Kong situation that they keep doubling down on. So fuck Blizzard.
Yeah.
I'm never buying any game from Blizzard again. But Bethesda reveals Fallout First premium membership subscription for Fallout 76 or 70 shit, as I like to call it. But so basically, you can pay $13 per month to play the game on a private server, despite the fact private servers are supposed to be free. That's why they're private fucking servers. Or you could pay $100 a year. So you save money than if you went per month. But why would you pay any amount of money for a game that's still broken and for a game that's had its DLC recently delayed because Bethesda apparently can't do anything right? They're just greedy fucktwats and they should die.
Yeah, that's I agree, I man. I had that as one of my stinkos as well. Like,
and the scrap box is bugged, so if you put items in there, you might lose them.
You will lose them. That's the whole thing. They made you pay $100 a year for Fallout 76, and they promised private, I guess private servers. They're not private. And also the scrap box, if you put anything in there, just expect it to be gone. So people put like tons of their scraps in there and they lost them. So yeah, that's definitely a stinko, Eric, for sure. It's ridiculous. How far they have fallen. Like Fallout 4 was probably their peak, right, Breakman? I mean, you're a big Fallout 4 fan.
Well, yeah, I love 4, but I 76 four, so four far they haven't done anything to make me want it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the only consolation with Bethesda I can get now is at least the games that they don't make directly and just publish, like Doom, are fine.
Yeah.
But everything else is garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a stinko. Freak 5.
Although won't give me I money. Heard that Youngbloods has some issues too, so like
Yeah, it's sad. Pretty sad. All right, so mine were the tech difficulties for last week. I don't know if I said this on air, but off air I was like, as soon as I got done calling off the show, I figured out a workaround to get the show on the air. So glad that that's taken care of. That was definitely a stinko. Fallout 76, $100 a year for, half a game, and it's buggy.
Half of a broken game.
Yeah, and it's broken.
It's technically early access because that's why it's so buggy.
Yeah, it's shit. But anyways, and then I promised new intro. I couldn't get the rights to the fucking intro music that I wanted, but I am working on something. So hopefully by next week we'll have something else. I don't want to give that person or that, music any play. I'm not going to say what I was going to do, but it would have been really fucking cool. And
needless to say, he's getting a bag of flaming dog poo on his front.
You fucking A, man. Goddamn right. But I got something else in the works that I'm going to be working on this week, and hopefully I'll have that all done. So we'll have a brand new intro and outro and all that good fun stuff. So there you go. That was my stinkos. Let's move on to...
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweet-o of the week!
All right, Breakman, you're up. You're sweet-o of the week.
That we were off last week? No, I'm just kidding.
Motherfucker.
There was a festival that I went to a couple weeks ago. That they've done here before. I didn't go last time because what it is this show that's done. It's all over downtown. It was all over downtown Cincinnati, through the bridges and over into Kentucky. It was called Blink. And what this company did is they do a light show, and they do it other towns too. I'd never been to it before, but I'd heard about it and how good it was and stuff like that. But like, I don't really like large crowds that much. Because you know you're always going to get hit by somebody, like not intentionally, they're just going to run into you or elbow you or something like that. Mm-hmm. But what it is it's an outdoor light show where they took like film projectors and whatever, and they put them all over the buildings. So they're removing artworks all over the buildings downtown and on the bridges and over into Kentucky. It just huge display for people to walk through, and it was absolutely free.
Oh, nice.
It was an amazing show, and I knew somebody who actually had a VIP ticket, so there were indoor things that we were able to get to and free beer.
Wow, that's even better. Free beer.
And free wine, because I went with my brother, and he literally drank the last of their wine.
Wow.
In the last place we went to, he drank all of their wine.
Jesus Christ, man. Wow.
I was just like, I'm like, okay, dude. He told me later he did spend the rest of the night in the bathroom.
They're coming back next year, break, and it's going to be called Blink 182. Where they're just going to do a bunch of Blink 182 concerts on the walls.
it's a really cool outdoor thing. You just walk through town, and there are light displays all through town, some interactive, some just covering a whole entire building.
Yeah.
And you're watching a little movie on a building, like an artistic movie and stuff. It's really fucking cool, and we're hoping they'll be back in a couple of years, I think. Yeah, even the crowds with just so many people there. I still want to go back. When they come back, I'm going to go back.
That's cool, man. That's really nice. That's a.
I didn't get to see a lot of it because of how big it was. I got to see.
That's what she said.
A good amount of stuff, but just there was so much that you really have to come back multiple nights to see everything.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. I'm glad you got VIP tickets and got to see some of that.
I got free beer.
Yeah, free beer is always good. Mm-hmm. Wow, Freak Five's gonna be rich. He's gonna donate money to RP Grinders. He says in chat. That's really cool, Freak Five. Really appreciate
he's
that.
He's gonna be Dave Chappelle. I'm rich, bitch.
Yeah. Fat Man Lake says, "Hello, you have won a 10-minute host on my channel. If you want to be chosen again, visit my channel." I have no idea what that means, but I'm glad we get 10 minutes of you on our channel here. That's
if great. We get PragerU, we gotta kick that person out.
Yeah, no PragerU. 50% of college tuition for anyone who goes to college. That's cool, man. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Freak's just made some friends, basically people he's never met before once.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have the motivation to go back to
distant
school.
Distant cousins and shit like that.
Exactly. He's like doing the ultimate grift, He's like, don't you remember, we're related. I was like your second cousins on your father's brother's side and all this shit.
Oh, God, don't you remember, back when we were, 2 years old, you and me were hanging out in the crib together, dude? We were tight.
Sweet.
So I got this business idea.
Exactly. Just go right into it. Don't even give him an option, All right, Eric, do you have a sweet-o this week?
Not really.
Okay, I do. I got my car back, which is a huge thing. I don't know if I told you guys, somebody sideswiped my car and that whole, insurance debacle that I had. I mean, it ended up costing me $500, but it looks new, and that's all I care about. It's back, and yay. Let's see. Also, the White House implosions. I'm not going to get into them. There have been too many to kind of go over. But, it's almost over. The nightmare is almost over, Breakman, is what I'm
saying. I hope. It seems like the Republican Party is just doubling down on his shit at this point. The things they're doing and saying are totally absurd. But, at the same time, they're starting to get caught. Getting more and more he quietly got another a federal judge approved and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like
but here's
doing the, that. Yeah. It's I'm afraid that stuff's gonna help them get away with it. And just what Barr is doing right now, like turning everything into a criminal investigation.
Here's the thing.
Stuff that already been investigated before.
Well, there's been, like I've said before, there's been rumblings about the Senate, you know, actually impeaching. And I'm beginning to think more and more that it's going to go that way, as spineless as the Republicans are. Mm-hmm. But I think there's something that's
more of them are going to vote for his impeachment than we expect, but yes. I don't think enough.
No, I think there's going to be enough eventually. I mean, when it comes down to it, there's going to be enough. Only 11 need to flip.
The more stuff that comes out, can anybody deny it? But then we have jackasses that, like, march down into – and this is what worries me is they march down into the meeting that was a private meeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That everybody knew about, but it was restricted. Access was restricted for good reason, to interrupt it. And they took video camera with them and stuff like that, and we're taping it. They're doing all this illegal stuff, and, yeah. They're saying how this is being done outside of our view and the public can't see and stuff like that, and Republicans are being kept out, which was a fucking lie.
Yeah, it's just theatrics.
There's a bold-faced lies that are being believed by people, you know?
No, but I don't think anybody...
But no, Frank, listen, but my big problem is
they
did that, and what did the Democrats do? What
nothing.
Did the people that were down there do?
Nothing.
They did nothing.
They did nothing.
That's my problem, is that nobody is doing anything when people do shit like this.
No, I get it.
They broke the law, and they taped it for all of us, and then they get – you know what they get? They get celebrated on Fox News.
Well,
they're getting loved by their Christian – and the so-called Christian right and evangelicals and you know, all the Trump supporters.
There's no there's no question that there's a stark contrast between the way that Republicans handle themselves.
There's no accountability whatsoever. And that's what is bothering the fuck out of me. That's what really worries me.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it, Brake. But when it all comes down to it, the cracks are starting to show. I mean, even Mitch McConnell was kind of like not supporting the president when they interviewed him about that call. Remember, the president said that Mitch McConnell thought it was a perfect call and that it was innocent. Well, they questioned McConnell about it. And you know what he said? I don't recall talking to the president about that call. So that's that's as close to an admission as you can ever get from Mitch McConnell. And I think as spineless as they are, they're going to do the right things. So when the vote comes down, we might be pleasantly surprised. At the very least, we have them on record voting for or against impeachment, and that's all we need to flip the Senate. And
I don't trust Mitch McConnell one damn bit.
He's at 36%, man. He's
like
at fucking 36%.
He's openly admitted like he's doing everything he can just to get judges. Like he doesn't care about anything else but getting conservative judges.
Right, no question about it. I'm with you 100%. But his approval rating is at 36%.
Yeah.
An incumbent.
I know that is good news. He is the most hated person in Congress right now.
An incumbent that's below 50%.
I mean, he's beat a Nancy Pelosi, who was formerly, like, I think, most hated.
Yeah.
And Rand Paul, like, he's definitely hated too. Like Mitch, thank you, dude. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The most
hated
person in America.
His time is numbered, man. But
at the same time, like, look what Lindsey Graham did. Like how spineless he is.
Lindsey Graham is a huge bootlicker, man. Like that guy is the ultimate bootlicker.
Worst. Yeah. Look at before the election, before they nominated Trump. He said the worst thing that we can possibly do is nominate him. He'll destroy us. And then like, oh well, fuck, he's nominated. And like, listen, we can't like do this and do this. And then he becomes president. And Lindsey Graham's like, well, I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Trump.
There's no question. No question.
Play golf and stuff like that. You need me to lick your butt. You know what do you want?
Right.
What do you need from me, sir?
You got it. That's what it is.
This whole Syria thing. He's like, that's the worst thing ever. He goes and has a meeting with Trump. It's the greatest. He's the greatest person I've ever seen. It's like. The hell happens in your meetings, man?
Yeah, well, a lot of fellatio.
Does he blow pixie dust up your asshole? Like, what the fuck happens?
Well, it's get in line or I'm going to ruin you politically. And Lindsey Graham's been on record saying that he just wants to stay relevant. But here's the thing. Ass kissers always get the boot. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no question. Like,
Lindsay, I don't know about that, because look at Washington in general. Like, there are so many people that have been in Washington for fucking ever.
No, I understand that, but
been a lot of like ass kissing. I mean, look at what's going on with Republicans. Like, they bend over backwards. They've been kissing Trump's ass, a lot of them, and some of those people have been in there since the 80s.
Look.
It's like they know how horrible he is, and they still turn over and kiss his ass.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's either the Republicans start on that path of impeachment or thinking about, you know, country before party, or it's going
to
be –
like, you know, common sense would beg them to fucking do.
Right. Or it's going to be fascist nation. That's – there's no – it's either you do it or we're going to head into – a new face of fascism here in this country.
Look what's going on online. We had that ump that you know, is tweeting out there's going to be a civil war if they impeach him. You know, the other day I had a, you know, like one of them Russian trolls, and I know it's a Russian troll when your name's like Mary 486958124265 86, you know.
I get it.
Goddamn 12 numbers behind you, and you're just coming out to defend Trump, and it was like, well, name one person he's raped and stuff like that. Like, I'm not your fucking I'm not your dad. You have Google. Like, you are just being a troll.
Well,
you're making me come and defend something that Ivana. I don't need to, because the news is out there.
All you have to say is Ivana Trump. That's who he raped. I mean, that's there you go.
Well, no,
I
turned it back on him. I said, no, he didn't rape one woman. He raped many women.
Yes, many women. Yeah, you're right.
And then I know you're a Russian troll. I know you're just doing your job. You're just getting paid to do your job.
Yeah.
But block.
Yeah.
Because
it's going to play out.
I see these people when I'm on Twitter all the time. Like, they'll have the name, like, it'd be like Billy Two, and then, or Billy John, and then 15 numbers behind his name. And they're all pro Trump people. Like, hey, you're all paid to do this, aren't you?
Well, it's either that or they're just jaded pieces of shit, man. I've firmly come to the
– or people that have been previously banned from Twitter creating new accounts. Yeah. But they are on the specific mission of promoting Trump and getting all misinformation out there and doing everything they can to
cover
the thing. His asshole.
Here's the thing, Brake Man. There's only 25% of the people that truly feel that way, right? So you can take heart in knowing that 75% of people do not feel that way. Also, Trump's approval rating is at what now? Like 30%, 36% or something? I mean, the end is near. It's near, and it's going to be over.
But, like, we've seen him do things in the past to shift his approval and such like that. Yeah, well. Like, he's gotten out of so much shit, not just as president, but just his entire life.
Yeah.
He's been able to worm away from any punishment whatsoever.
Even a mobster meets his end one way or the other, Brake Man. And Trump is no mobster, but he wants it to feel like that.
And let me be clear, when Frank said meets his end, he wasn't talking about Trump dying, so he's trying to twist that on us.
No.
That's not what he was saying.
That's not what I was saying.
We know you trolls are listening, just saying.
Right. And I get that a lot.
When he says end, he means his political end, him going to jail, him finally being brought to justice.
Yes. I'm the more skeptical one of the bunch here when it comes to that shit. You guys have known that I've warned against fascism for forever. In this case, I think the Republicans will actually do the right thing when it comes down to it. Either that, or they're going to be on record and they'll be forever known as the people that enabled fascism. And that's not a good place to be in history.
I don't know. Like, the more that comes out, like, the Republicans just like, well, how'd this come out? Who leaked this? Like, that's their big motivation. Yeah. Like, they're trying to avoid, like, the content of everything that comes out. More and more details come out.
Behind
and
the scenes.
There's a book coming out with, like, listed 40 more of his rapes and assaults and stuff like that. Like, this is – there is so much damning evidence on the person. It is absolutely ridiculous to see how anybody can defend him who's in the know.
Look,
But they are keeping the sheep in line. Yeah. Like, the sheep are completely brainwashed, and they're getting fed shit by trolls online.
Yeah,
and Fox News and the conservative radio, because the radios are dominated by conservative news.
Yeah, no question about that. Look, take heart in the fact that behind the scenes, not all Republicans are pro-Trump, even though they might say so.
I think the majority of them aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, who can be? Like they.
This will be...
look at him and think like, God damn, like he makes me look like a saint.
Yeah.
And I'm cheating on my wife with four different women.
This will be their chance to get rid of his fucking
ass. And one of them is my daughter's best friend. Yeah. He's only 14.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man.
Like that's the kind of shit that's probably going on in Washington.
Yeah. Okay.
Donald Trump and Bill Clinton weren't the only politicians that were fucking around with Epstein.
Right.
Those weren't the only ones. We know there are more.
And Dershowitz is a piece of shit too, man. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
He's got to go to jail. Yeah.
Okay.
My thing is finally when he finally gets to that point, he's probably going to kill himself or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
He's going to be one of those little pricks that avoids justice.
Hey, that's fine with me. He's less air to breathe. You know what I mean? Like he's breathing in air that other people can breathe.
I want these assholes to get punished though. Yeah. Like they've destroyed lives. Like, and he continues to victimize that one woman for God's sakes.
Yeah, I know.
Like, dude, you raped her. And then for the rest of her life, you've tormented her and you've bastardized her and victimized her. And he continues to go on and like, he needs to be punished.
Yeah.
Epstein got away with it.
Okay.
Basically, like with his suicide. We're way off topic.
It's okay. We got to move on, but we'll definitely talk more about that. I got something really, really fun.
No, we were on Sweetos, and how did we get to that shit? Anyway.
Well, my Sweeto
was awesome. I hope it's right.
Yeah, the White House imploding is my Sweeto. But here we go. It's a free for all. Okay, this is going to be really fun. I'm going to call this the ultimate monster challenge bracket, guys. And we're going to decide who is the greatest movie monster of all time right here. I've narrowed it down arbitrarily for time's sake because I could make this a lot bigger. But there's 8 contestants. And I'm going to give you 2 contestants. And you guys tell me who would beat who in a one-on-one matchup, however you take that. And we will go from there. The first matchup is going to be Michael Myers of Halloween fame versus Dracula. And I'll start with you, Breakman.
So it's Michael Myers versus Dracula?
Yes.
Dracula would win.
Yeah, okay, so
I got to pick Dracula.
Who?
Michael Myers is indestructible pretty much, like...
All Dracula has to do is vaporize the fuck out of him. And he has the ability.
No, I'm talking like Bram Stoker. He can summon
minions and stuff, you know? Like, okay. Dracula has a lot of, like, superpowers. Like,
okay.
Michael Myers is just indestructible, but, you know, he could, if he had to, maybe bury him 100 feet underground or something.
Wait, okay. Wait, which Dracula are we talking about?
Well, it's
we talk about Castlevania.
Not Castlevania Dracula.
No, Castlevania Dracula is essentially... Castlevania Dracula is essentially Satan in that world.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
I'm just like that in general Dracula. It's just kind of the amalgam of all of them, you know?
Okay, I'll make it a little bit simpler. Bela Lugosi's Dracula versus Michael Myers. And my case is for Michael Myers because Michael Myers is like darkness incarnate. Like he is, like you said, indestructible. He's more of a thought than a man. So, but everybody else in chat is saying Bernie says Dracula, Freak 5 says Dracula. You guys say Dracula. So Dracula moves.
I still say it's that version of Dracula. Yeah. Okay. Because the old movies with him in it didn't really go the full extent of a vampire's powers. They just went with what they thought would be a vampire's powers.
Okay, so Dracula moves on. No problem. Let's move on to the next.
I'm saying this despite the fact that they're both fictional things.
Okay, no problem.
But I think if we were to apply what we do with vampires now to the Bela Lugosi, he'd still be more powerful.
Okay. All right, so next matchup is going to be Frankenstein versus Chucky. And I'll start with you, Eric.
You should clarify Frankenstein's monster as opposed to the Dr. Frankenstein.
Yes, Frankenstein's monster. Frankenstein
is going to win easily.
Yes. Okay.
Let's see. The monster is pretty tough.
Yeah.
But Chucky's pretty clever. But, unless Chucky could get the pull a fast one on Frankie would win almost every instance.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Is it new Chucky or old Chucky?
Old Chucky. Old Chucky.
I think old Chucky.
Okay. I'm going.
Think old Chucky could pull it off. Like, he was. Old Chucky was clever.
I'm going with Old Chucky as well.
Chucky's computer is a computer, you know, like he's not capable of that kind of like cleverness that a serial killer like Chucky is.
I'm saying Chucky as well because, like you said,
how do you kill a computer program?
I think it would, for computer program, it would come down to like, you know, brute force versus brute force, and that would lose. But like,
yeah, I'm saying Chucky because like smart. Freak 5 brings up the point. He's small, fast, can move his soul into other beings. But I'm thinking the small and fast thing, and Frankenstein would eventually get wore down by Chucky. So, and an upset, Chucky moves on. All right. So let's move on to the next one. Now this one is going to be.
Well, I never said that. That Frankenstein would win, but I would say that in most instances.
Yeah, I mean, conventional wisdom would say Frankenstein, but I'm taking Chucky just because of the agility factor. Okay.
No, I think there are a lot of factors. I think Chucky'd win.
If Frankenstein were to get a hold of Chucky, it'd be over. Let's be honest, man. Yeah. But I'm saying Chucky moves on because
Chucky takes a lot of damage. Say if he got a hold of him and ripped Chucky in half or something.
No,
Chucky's not dead.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen that.
Not dead, but also probably not being able to do much.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. He's done some shit when he's been fucked up before.
Okay,
like,
you win, Brake. Chucky moves on. Let's move on here. Freddy versus Pennywise. Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street versus It's
a guy
Pennywise.
That became a great one versus an actual great one.
Mm-hmm. It's basically a similar. They basically have similar powers.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's
they both feed on fear.
Yep. So, who are you picking?
How they outfear each other, though.
Breakman.
Freddy versus Pennywise. Yes. I have to think about this one.
I'm not thinking about it. I'm gonna say Freddy's a little more clever, very slightly more clever than Pennywise, even though Pennywise has, like, the great one powers.
Freddy lost to Jason.
Hold on.
And Jason doesn't really, like, there's no thought process there. And
Pennywise lost to a bunch of kids, so don't even go there, man.
So does Freddy. He loses every time to kids.
Yeah.
He's always, he's always killing
Except
kids.
Except that one time where a kid who died's father killed him instead because he used holy powers or whatever.
Okay, so you got...
He basically asked God to kill Freddy for him.
Yeah, so, okay, so who are you picking?
I'm gonna go ask Mrs. Breakman who she thinks.
Oh, you're gonna get... Oh, I see how... I see where's the pants. Okay.
No, this is one versus 100, right? Like, I'm phoning a friend. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Eric, who are you picking?
I haven't seen enough Freddy, so I'm just going to go with Pennywise.
I'm going with Freddy. I think Freddy would win. Like, Freddy to me seems like when he means business, and he's, to me, a little more demonic, whereas Pennywise is a little more, you know,
I think
just
the absolute pathetic way that Freddy died, though, is by going into Hansel and Gretel's oven at the end of Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just more metaphoric than anything, man.
We have talked, and me and Mrs. Breakman have agree Pennywise.
So we
and
got
this is because Freddy is completely vulnerable if you're awake. If you're awake, Freddy has zero power.
Who did you say, Eric?
I said Pennywise.
Okay, so Pennywise moves on. I think you guys are wrong, but Pennywise moves on.
Pennywise dream? That's a good point. If Pennywise doesn't even sleep or dream, Freddy has no ability to fight him.
I think Pennywise is the dream.
Yeah, well, see, there you go. So I don't know. I think Freddy would be Pennywise, but that's just my feeling.
They have similar powers, but if you think about it, like, does Pennywise sleep? Does he dream? Like, if he doesn't even sleep.
No.
Okay. Well, he sleeps for 37 years, but then when he's awake, then he doesn't sleep again, and then Freddy can't even fight him.
Okay, let's move on. The last of the first round, we got Leatherface versus Jason. I'll start with this one.
Well, that's a good one. Leatherface versus Jason.
I'm taking Jason because Leatherface is kind of just a man. Bernie says Jason. So wow, that's surprising because Bernie is a huge Leatherface fan. But she says,
oh,
Jason.
By the way,
right. That's
by the way,
problem. Leatherface is a man. Yeah. Jason is more than a man.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he beat Freddy, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I would like to mention that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, is on Netflix
now. You know what? That it might it won't come to that, but Mrs. Brakeman had a great thing. She had a what about Jason versus Michael Myers?
No, we're not doing that. Michael Myers lost to Dracula.
I know.
Michael Myers lost to Dracula, so
he lost Dracula. Fine.
All right. So I'm picking Jason. Brake is picking Jason. Who are you picking, Eric?
Jason.
Okay. Jason moves on. So now we've got a matchup between Dracula and Chucky. Who are you picking?
Dracula's.
Dracula, yeah.
Ooh, Dracula in a quick no love for Chucky to take down Dracula. Okay, I'll pick Dracula.
You know what? The more I think about it, like, he can't – none of Dracula's powers would really be of much of effect on Chucky.
I still pick Dracula, man. I think
he has superhuman strength, so you could just kill
Chucky.
Yeah,
like he's got strength and he's can
strength
like,
and
disappear
speed
and stuff like that. But he does like Freak even says Chucky doesn't have blood.
Yeah,
like Chucky might have an advantage in this fight.
Okay,
Chucky doesn't have blood, but he could still
he can't be bitten and turned. Like
Here's the thing. I'm taking Dracula. And I'll tell you why.
Because Mrs. Brakeman said Chucky bleeds. So
Dracula could probably drain his soul instead.
Yeah, I think Dracula wins just because he could like Chucky doesn't really die. He just gets incapacitated, and Dracula is quick enough to easily incapacitate Chucky. So we've got one vote for Chucky and two for Dracula. Sorry, Brakeman, you lose. Dracula moves on. Okay. Next battle, Pennywise versus Jason. Now, this one's interesting because you brought up a good point. Breakman. Jason did beat Freddy. So this is not as one-sided as what
– Right. So Pennywise versus Jason. That is a good one.
In terms of pure strength, I think Jason would
win. Yeah.
Right. But Pennywise, he's a trickster.
Yeah, Pennywise is a trickster.
So he isn't necessarily going to engage Jason head on.
Yeah. In chat, Jason. Bernie says Jason. I think Jason as well. What do you say, Brakeman? You say Pennywise?
I don't know. I'm thinking about this one. I want to know what Mrs. Brakeman thinks.
What do you think?
Let me see. I phoned a friend. What are the other two options I get? I forget. It's been a
while since. Pennywise or Jason?
Jason's fear is water.
Yeah, but
unless Pennywise can home in on his thoughts, he wouldn't know that.
Yeah, and Freddy already tried that.
Jason doesn't really think.
Yeah, Freddy already tried that, and it didn't work. Like to me, this is easy. I mean, I think it's Jason. I don't know. But what do you think, Eric? Who do you pick?
I think it depends on which version of Jason we're talking about, too, because there's indestructible version of Jason. There's H2O. You can just chop his head off. Jason,
No, that's Michael Myers you're thinking of, H2O.
I'm thinking of my last. Oh my god. All right, what beer am I on? I'm on number 4 since the show started. Never mind.
I'm picking Jason.
So indestructible Jason versus Pennywise. Mrs. Brakeman says Pennywise. I'm kind of leaning with Frank. I'm kind of thinking Jason.
Yeah, I'm thinking Jason too.
He survived Freddy.
Yep.
Yep. And anytime you think he's dead, he still comes back.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
He went
to
hell and he came back. I mean, Jason, he's defied all odds.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a mismatch on paper, but this is one of those underdog stories that Jason just pulls through because he's Jason and just takes care of Pennywise.
It seems like Jason shouldn't win. Like, he shouldn't even have a chance, but I think you're right. Yep. I think Jason. I'm going with Jason.
Okay. Eric, what say you?
Jason.
All right. Jason moves on. So now we have the final. Okay. This is the final round. Dracula versus Jason.
I think Jason will win again because Jason just seems to keep coming back for more, despite how much punishment he takes. I think Dracula's ability to take damage is finite.
Ooh, good point.
I don't, like, that's a problem. It's like, Jason, like, how would he kill Dracula? Because Jason's not really a thinking thing. Like, he wouldn't stab him in the heart, wouldn't stay.
He'd probably just keep fighting Dracula until daylight happened, and Dracula would hit daylight.
Here's what I know about Dracula, okay? You can kill him by a stake through the heart, right? Or you can chop his head off, right? Those are kind of the two ways to kind of defeat Dracula or immobilize him for like a long ass time. What does Jason have in his possession but a goddamn machete? So Dracula would be doing all this wicked shit, right? And like you know, trying to kill Jason, doing whatever. But eventually,
Jason a long time, but
Jason would catch Dracula in his hand. Especially if it's the Kane Hodder Jason, man, he would do that, and he would take that machete, cut off Dracula's head. End of discussion. I think that's
and then throw the body in an incinerator so he can't come back.
Yeah, Freak 5 says Jason wouldn't be able to figure out the ritual for defeating Pennywise. Too bad he moved on. But Freak 5 says Dracula.
He wouldn't need to do the ritual because I think Jason could just outright kill Pennywise with pure strength alone.
He can't do that with Dracula. Like you got like wearing him down to the sun gets him maybe, but other than that, I can't think of a way Jason could actually kill Dracula.
Okay, so I think it all boils down to Eric's vote because I'm voting Jason. I think Jason.
I'm going Dracula.
I think Jason
could. He's you know, Dracula's obviously intelligent. Of all the monsters we've talked about, Dracula's the most intelligent.
Right, no question. But
he's also got great power set, you know?
So, if Dracula's powers consisted of, like, doing something with the removal of souls, I think it's all I'd have to do, send his soul back to hell.
Yeah, no, we're not talking that Dracula, Eric. We're talking, like, Bela Lugosi or Bram Stoker Dracula type. But I think Jason would eventually catch him in one arm and with the other arm swiftly.
Could he paralyze Jason with, like,
And you talk about ripping Dracula's head off. That doesn't kill Dracula. Dracula comes back from having his head ripped off.
No, but
that is not one of his weaknesses.
Well, Jason has had a machete through his head and come back and all that shit too. So it's like kind of equal in that regard. Like I'm talking about like if not kill, totally immobilize for a long period of time.
And because I think Dracula would have Jason as his tool by the end of the fight.
Okay. So we got opposing views, so it's up to Eric. Eric, okay, you're
I'm going to go with Dracula now.
Oh, son of a bitch. God damn it. Nice. God damn it, man. Okay. Well, Dracula wins. Dracula is the ultimate monster in our bracket here, our ultimate monster challenge bracket. Dracula wins.
He's immortal. He's got centuries of knowledge. I know you're pissed because you really want Jason versus Michael.
No, not necessarily because
Jason's the closest thing to Hulk in the monster world.
Yeah. What about Michael Myers versus Jason? Who'd win that matchup?
Michael Myers versus Jason are like the exact same person. So
almost.
A double KO is that's a
double KO. We'll have to do this again. I'll think of like next year I'll do a huge one and then we'll maybe have a whole section on
that'd be great. You know, I think the fight Jason versus Michael Myers would go on for 42 years or longer.
Like daytime, nighttime type thing, you know.
Yeah, like they just keep fighting, they just keep stabbing each other.
All right,
they get too tired of stabbing.
I can't disagree too much. Dracula is an all-time icon.
They eventually give up and go for coffee and hell.
What about Dracula versus Pennywise? Who'd win that one?
Dracula versus Pennywise.
Yeah. Chucky versus
Dracula
Leprechaun.
Would figure out what he needs to do and get rid of Pennywise.
I don't know. Pennywise isn't dumb. Like he would.
No?
He knows people's weaknesses and their fears, and he's able to exploit that.
Yep.
He might be able to figure out what can kill Dracula. So I don't know. That one's interesting.
I don't know.
Freak asked Chucky versus Leprechaun. I think Leprechaun because Leprechaun can alter reality.
Yeah. How about this? Would you guys be opposed to me to redoing this for next week's show, even though it's the day after Halloween?
No. Yes. Do this. Add as many monsters as you can think
okay.
of. Yes.
Okay. I will do it. Next week we'll have an even better Ultimate Monster Challenge bracket, but with multiple brackets. I'll do 32. I'll narrow it down to 32, and we'll come up with one winner. And
if there's any monsters anybody wants on this list, send a tweet to @RPGrinders.
Okay, perfect.
Frank will find a position for that monster.
There you go. And I will see them accordingly.
Barbra Streisand, like, that's a different kind of monster.
Let's see, Critters, Monsters.
Very good point. I can add Critters, Monsters, and other stuff like that.
What about the worms from Tremors?
What about Ghost from Scream? The ghost face from Scream.
Ghost face, exactly.
Hannibal Lecter. Exorcist. Yeah,
that's just the person in that suit, though.
Freak says this could be a new podcast idea. I agree, Freak 5. It definitely could. But we're doing it first on RP Grinders, so there you go. So next week, expect a huge bracket. I'm going to expand the field. I'm going to take all these names we did today and put them in different brackets. That way we don't have the same matchups, and we will do this again next week, but on a bigger scale. So that means, Eric, not a lot of news, please. I will do my best to alter the show accordingly. So Bernie says Jason would her mom said Jason would be Dracula, so you guys are wrong. So there you go.
Yeah, like these are great, like really great, like thinking questions, you know?
Yeah, I'm gonna do this next week
culture wise like, well, I'm not saying we're increasing our intelligence.
No point. Yeah, of course. But I will do this next week, and I will make a huge bracket, and then we'll go from there. All right,
that's cool. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay, that's a perfect time for plugs, so Breakman, plug away.
You can follow me at RP Grinders, where you can send your monster suggestions. So if you want Chucky and Leprechaun and Godzilla in the list, send them over. I'll make sure Frank gets them in there, and that'll be for next week, and we'll find out who the ultimate monster is.
Okay, this was a warm-up for next week's show. That's awesome. All right.
Yes, and right now Dracula is the champ. We will find out if Dracula is dethroned next week.
Yes.
Send your question to @RPGrinders and or @Break_man or @FrankBranches or @EricRPG. See, yeah. We're done. We can go on now. I did offer.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
Godzilla, Pinhead. There's a good one.
Yeah, Pinhead's another good one. I think I'm going to try to get an interview with Bram Stoker's Dracula. So look forward to that. Hopefully we can get Dracula online. That'd be awesome. Demonic Toys.
How about the puppets from Puppet
Master? You'd have to pick specific puppets because there's different ones.
What's the skeleton's name? Is it Jack? We all said Pinhead.
Sorry. Yeah, Pinhead. Pinhead will definitely be in there. I thought about Pinhead to put him in this one, but it just didn't work out. I just came up with 8. But next week will be at least 32. It could be 64, depending on how many responses we get. But anyways,
Frank,
Eric
remembers when Dracula was
the real question you. Is for next week, if I had a review, would you rather me see the Joker or Zombieland 2?
How about both? Watch them both.
I would say the Joker if you're going to pick one, because the Joker's breaking records, and lot of people say they'd love it. So I would like to hear your opinion.
Bernie says the Creeper. Freak 5 says Alien. So yeah, we could do that. Predator.
Xenomorphs. Those are good ones. Yeah.
Go. Okay.
The Xenomorphs are terrifying. Yeah. One by itself is scary, but.
Oh, and also next week, our favorite, I know we've done this before, but our number one favorite scariest scary video game. So I wanted to do it this week, but not any time. So, all right, Eric,
I'm having a lot of fun with Friday the 13th right now. That's a really scary game sometimes, especially when you hear music or yeah. The screen like jars a little bit, like, ah, fuck, he's around. God damn it. Fuck. I was almost out. I was scared.
The Rancor, Freak 5 says. Okay, I can see that. How about Donald Trump? I think we could throw him into this.
Again, I said like fictional monster.
Oh, okay.
Real ones.
Well, yeah, isn't he a fictional monster? Damn. Like, he's not real, is he? I mean, seriously, is he real?
Gently.
All right, Eric. Yeah, Eric, your plugs, please.
You can find reviews I've written on sites like BostonBashForBrigade.com, TotallyGN.com, and VogNetwork.com. And I got, like I mentioned earlier, I got a review of Trails of Cold Steel 3 up. So you can go check that out. And if you like what I've written and want to support me, as little as a dollar would help me on my Patreon.
Okay. Anything else?
Then you can find me on Twitter at EricRBG, and there's a link to my Patreon account from there.
Okay. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. You can also follow me on any of the consoles, Nintendo, Sony, or Xbox, RP Grinders. So hit me up. It's RP Grinders. And I, whichever ones do the uppercase, lowercase, I think it's Xbox, the capital RPG. But other than that, I think it's all lowercase RP Grinders. So there you go. Anything else, gentlemen?
No.
How do you spell Mussolini?
M-U-S-O-L-I-N-N-I or something like that. I don't know.
But, since Asheville County sucks, we're doing trick-or-treat tomorrow, so I have to give out candy at my parents' house.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yep, have a happy Halloween for sure, everybody. Stay safe. You know, I know.
Hey, there's Wildin' right when we're ending.
Oh, exactly.
And be sure to check your candy bags for weed, because like you don't want to smoke that stuff.
Yeah,
even though nobody in the right mind is gonna give the kids their own stash.
I was gonna say, isn't that kind of expensive? Like, don't you want like you can have regular gummy bears. Those are a buck. These aren't. Away.
Wyland is exiled. He says that's not fair. Frank has seen all of them throughout time. How dare you, son of a bitch? Next week, Wyland, we're gonna do an expanded version. I'm gonna have at least 32 names on the list, so you might want to get it here.
Cheap, and Frank's like giving out buds like that for all the kids. Like,
how dare you?
There's a little bud for you, and a little bud for you, and here's a tiny little one.
I keep my own stash.
Bigger
man.
One for the mother. That. Hey, yeah.
That shit's too expensive to be given away, man.
Like, okay, so I was right the first time. So it's just no, get your own, you little fucker.
Okay, stay safe this Halloween week. I know Halloween's on Thursday, so just make sure you're looking out for kids as you're coming in from work and all that type of stuff. Just be safe out there. I know I say that every week, but this week especially. Stay safe. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. We didn't get cowbell this week.
Oh, fuck. Where is my cowbell?